Hey everybody, welcome back to Nerdin' Out, the audio podcast that's easier to read than IKEA instructions. I'm your host, Ronan Hunter.
And I'm Duke Savage.
And welcome back to a little bit of a hiatus that we took. A lot of stuff happening, going on. Big one being, Duke, you got a house.
Yes. After about a good month going back and forth, issues with closing, our stuff was already packed up. We were thinking that we were going to have to pay rent and mortgage at the same time without being in either of them. So yeah, I know 2020 has been such a blessing and a curse for me, but I mean, I have my own desk now, as you can finally hear. I know a couple episodes we were going back and forth. I was like on a kitchen table at some point. I was literally recording off of our
refrigerator bedroom box on the corner of, right. of the street with a candlelight and everything.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I've done it all trying to get these recordings out, but finally, you know, we are settled in. Gosh, I'm so happy to be done with everything. You know, a lot of people would always say, moving sucks. They would always, you know, complain about it, but it's always until you're like in it yourself and you're experiencing it yourself that you realize, man, moving really does suck.
Yeah, and for me the biggest thing was packing. I mean, in the one room that I had enough junk to actually furnish my entire house. Most of it's still not even unpacked. Yeah, just one room. Oh. I'm not a pack rat. I'm a hoarder. There's a difference.
So what's up with you?
I think today we should talk about something that just came out a couple of days ago from when we started recording this. DC, a couple of days ago, dropped the trailer for the Batman Death in the Family interactive movie.
Yes. Oh my gosh. That was intense.
Mm-hmm.
I was not expecting it when this dropped, and so watching it I was like, wow. And then in the middle of the trailer you're hit with that interactive movie, and it's like,
yeah,
oh man, that immediately made me think of like those DVD movies that you would get in like cereal boxes.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
like the choose your own adventure type.
Yes.
Movies.
So for those that aren't aware, we're going to go into a little bit of spoiler territory here. We're going to discuss a little bit what Death in the Family is. It originally came out back in 1988, and it was a story where Batman and Robin are chasing Joker, and this Robin is Jason Todd, the second iteration of Robin. And the Joker gets a jump on him and beats him severely and leaves him to die in a warehouse that's set to explode. And at the end of that first issue, DC gave readers a chance to vote what was going to happen to Jason, whether he lives or he dies. And they got an overwhelming answer to let him die. So they killed him off. And that led to some really awesome stories between then and now, where we get Red Hood and Red Robin, and some really cool stories that go from that. And now to get an animated feature with that same kind of thing is really cool, because not only does it continue with the Red Hood story, but we have two other stories apparently attached to this. So if you watch the trailer, the part that Duke is telling about is there's a part that pops up that says what happens to Robin. Does he die? Does he cheat death? Or does Batman save him? And then based on the choices, it goes into its respective story. So if you let him die, it goes into the Under the Red Hood story movie that came out about 10 years ago, which is one of my favorite animated Batman movies. You have John DiMaggio as the Joker, who does a really good iteration of the Joker.
Oh yeah, dude.
And it's got Neil Patrick Harris as Nightwing, which is cool. But it's really cool to see like a darker version of Batman,
right,
him go up against that. I don't remember when the release date for this was.
Has to be for like sometime in December, September, right? With what's going on?
October 13th. Yeah.
You know what happens on that day, right?
Batman comes up?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, cool. I got it right. Yeah, awesome.
You got it right. Good job.
Oh, here we go. Sorry, I'm looking at the website thing for it right now. So apparently the three stories are Jason Todd's Rebellion, Robin's Revenge, and Red Hood's Reckoning.
Oh, okay.
Ooh.
Okay, I just saw that through my window, and I was like, there's no way. And then I heard it in your headphones first. I was
can
like,
hear
holy
the,
cow, dude.
I can hear the rain hitting the back of my thing. So, nice. Quick word of warning to our listeners. We might cut out shortly on our audio, just in case power goes out. So, what's life without a little fun, right?
Right, exactly.
This movie looks really interesting to me. Because I mentioned, Under the Red Hood was one of my favorite animated Batman movies. And to see that come into play with the option to see the what-if scenarios attached to that is really exciting.
Oh, man. And like you said, the fact that they've already given this choice to readers before.
Yeah.
And then kind of reinvent it in... it's already been done, kind of, but not in a modern way. You know,
right.
This is going to be so fun for the teenagers, the comic fans
right.
that are younger. Man, this is going to be great. This is so fascinating.
Yeah, I really want to have my nephew watch this because he watched his dad play through the Arkham series.
Oh, man, yeah. Nice.
So he's
all the way through the end, I'm guessing, right?
Not through the end of Arkham Knight, but I think he got to the part where they say who the Arkham Knight is.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
So I think nice. It'd be really cool to have him see this on like an animated thing where it's like, okay, get here, pick what happens to him.
Gosh,
that's really cool. And the animation looks really, really clean. Even the Under the Red Hood story segments that they showed, it still looks very crisp for being about 10 years old. It was most likely recorded digitally or animated digitally, and they were able to clean it up for the new Blu-ray release that's upcoming.
Right.
I don't think they're doing 4K, are they? No, I only see digital and Blu-ray, nothing on 4K yet. But the rest of the animation for the new segments looks really good. Just like that same style. And I think they got the same voice actors for Batman back and the Joker. Because they don't sound too different. I don't know who does Batman in this one. I know it's not Kevin Conroy. Can't find it. Too wiki.
And then we have when is Batman Day? Batman Day is
September 21st this year, which is that is a Monday? Yes, that's a Monday this year.
Very cool. Well, we got to definitely plan something out for that day for the show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I just recently purchased a Blu-ray 2-pack for Mask of the Phantasm and Sub-Zero, my top two favorite animated.
Oh, nice. Yes.
Dude, yes. So we might do a commentary on that one, kind of like what we did with Willy Wonka. Here we go. Bruce Greenwood. Bruce Greenwood does Batman in Under the Red Hood.
You think he feels cool being named Bruce, too?
That's probably why they picked him. It's like,
that's probably why, right?
Yeah, must be
if
Bruce.
If you want to land a Batman role, make sure that your name is Bruce.
Right? John DiMaggio's Joker. Neil Patrick Harris is Nightwing. Jason Isaacs says Ra's al Ghul. in that movie.
Jason Isaacs, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I like him, man. I really like him.
Yeah. He plays a really good villain.
He does. He really does.
Like, you hate him as Lucius Malfoy. You hate him as the... I can't remember his name, but he played the sergeant in The Patriot. The one that Mel Gibson...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
...is trying to kill for killing his kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, really good voice cast in that film. And I really hope they brought them all back. Otherwise, it'd be really awkward. But that's probably the biggest thing that caught my eye that's actually getting released this year, because I know a lot of movies we were looking forward to got pushed back to next year. Wonder Woman, Black Widow.
I hear Mulan is still going to be released. I think they just pushed that one even further. And a lot of people are getting mixed reviews because it's not out yet. You can't review it, but mixed emotions on Mulan, because they're pretty much coming out and saying that it's not going to be family friendly. It's really not. This is going to be like a historically accurate telling of Mulan.
Oh, interesting.
It's going to be very dark, and sheesh, man. Like I'm going to probably make some people mad. I'm not mad about it. Like, this might be cool. At first, and I know this is going to sound weird because I was kind of defending Lion King for being a little bit too close to the script. I'm like, yeah, why are you going to get mad at that? Like, it's great. Stick with it, right? Now that this is kind of changing the storyline, I don't know if maybe they heard what the fans were talking about. Uh-huh. Maybe they didn't want it to be as close. Obviously, I can't imagine it ever getting as close to the cartoony, campy feel in a live action, you know,
right?
with what's his nose being Mushu,
Eddie Murphy.
Eddie Murphy. I was gonna say, yeah. Eddie Brock. I got Spider Man on the mind. I was gonna totally different.
Well, I've made my say on it. The live action Disney remakes, I'm not a big fan of them because they're not taking the risks that they could be doing.
Right.
And if they're going this way with Mulan, that would be pretty cool to see how they do it.
That's what I'm hearing.
So now that you said that, my interest in it has kind of peaked again. But really interesting thing that you brought up, Batman, is one of the things we mentioned in our PS5 conference review.
Yeah.
What we were both excited for was the Miles Morales story for the next Spider-Man. Apparently, it's not confirmed yet, but people are saying that the Miles Morales game might come with a remastered version of the 2018 Spider-Man.
Dude, I heard this and I'm like, how? How?
Yes.
How can you remaster something already so beautiful and perfect?
I have no idea.
But how is that going to work? If they can
do that, man, that would be so hype if they can get that to work.
Honestly, but, I mean, yeah. I'm with it. I'm with it. Like, bring it on. Bring it on.
Yeah, they're still looking to shoot Mulan for this year then.
Yeah, from what I heard, it just got pushed back a little bit. But yeah, bro, like you're saying, we were expecting a lot of movies this summer,
right?
At least being pushed back until late summer, right? That's what we were all hoping for. I mean, Tenet, with everything that's going on. And not to get too political, but the way that the U.S. is handling this whole outbreak, this whole pandemic, these studios are not messing around, dude. Like, mm-mm. They are moving to other places. With Tenet specifically, the Christopher Nolan film that a lot of people are excited for, it's getting an international release before U.S., it's going to be released internationally for, I think, a month or two before it hits U.S. And when it does hit the U.S., it's just going to be digital only. So they're still going to try to make a bit of money on it. But because I mean, if you're just gonna do digital, I can't imagine it's gonna make as much money as it's supposed to.
Yeah, that's why a lot of people are saying not to worry about theaters closing down. That studios are gonna go strictly digital now. They're not gonna make enough money if they go strictly digital. Because, right. You know, you sell a rental fee for about 24 hours. It's not like having someone buy one ticket for that one showing and then having to buy another ticket for another showing.
Right.
Whereas you buy one fee, you can have 20 people in your house, which is not safe right now with social distancing. can have 20 people in your house and all see it. And that's 20 tickets they could have sold. So, they're still going to push for actual theatrical releases so they can try and make their money back, because that's how they make their money.
Yeah, bro.
That's why that's why the theater snacks are so freaking expensive, because all the ticket sales for like the first, I think it's like 6 to 8 weeks, all ticket sales go to the studios.
The studios, right.
So movie theaters got to charge $8 for a soda that they can stay open. So they can
keep the lights on, right.
Yep. But I do feel bad for people that worked in the theaters right now, because here in Texas and El Paso, they're still closed. Places like Alamo Drafthouse, where they're like super cool and bringing obscure films for people to see, and older films too.
Right.
I mean, one of the things we like to go to is the Wayne's World parties.
Right. Yeah, I get it.
Which we didn't get this year because of everything going on. But
Wonder Woman is still set to come out October 2nd. Candyman, for you horror nerds, are still set to come out October 16th. Again, man, this list would have been a lot bigger, but Black Widow still for November 6th, actually.
So they haven't pushed her to 21 yet.
Not yet, brother. Not yet, but we'll see. West Side Story, I'm actually really excited about this. Steven Spielberg directed this. Coming out December 18th, 2020 is still set to come out. Free Guy, of course, we're all excited for Free Guy.
Oh yeah, Free Guy,
December
man.
11th. Oh man, dude, we have to beat this, bro. We have to beat this. Yes. We have to see this in theaters. This is one of those things where you, like, exactly like you said, this is a multiple ticket kind of thing where you have to go with your friends,
right,
and just veg out, man.
Yeah, because it's a different experience to see it in the
such
theater.
Such a different experience, yes. Bro.
It's like, I don't know, did you ever get a chance to see Godzilla 2014 or It in theater?
Yeah, both.
Yeah, and then did you watch them at home?
Yeah.
It's hard to see it because it's shot so dark. But when on the big screen, it's perfect. You can see everything. And then the sound quality is different. Especially with a movie like Godzilla. Godzilla had the best sound design. Because the sound of those monsters was freaking awesome.
Yeah.
It just doesn't do it unless you've got a high-powered sound system in your home. And what average person has.
Oh, you're right.
But hopefully...
Well, something.
Yeah, that's
something
still...
Something to look forward to this
year. Yeah, that's last quarter of the year. So that's still several months out. Who knows? Maybe we'll beat this by then. So fingers crossed. Fingers toes. Crossed, eyes,
right? Exactly.
Anything and everything you can cross, keep them crossed.
Stay. Your eyes.
Yep. Except when you're driving. I did that once, and it didn't end well for the other person, not me.
Oh man, good times.
Well, since it's been quite a while since we talked about it, that's a big question we've been meaning to ask you. And so, what's your plan?
What am I playing? Well, I think I and a couple other nerds that have been following the show, we were all anticipating this marvelous game coming out July. I'm currently playing Paper
Barbie's
Mario.
Horse Adventure. Oh, wait.
Oh, wait, what? no, man, I've been knee deep in Paper Mario for right now. This is gonna be a topic, boy. This is gonna be a topic.
Yeah.
I I'm very interested to what you have to say first.
Okay. So, when it comes to Paper Mario, the last one I played before Origami King was Sticker Star. And I am with the rest of the gamer world out there, it was not great. When Color Splash came out, I had to pass on it for financial reasons, but it did look very interesting. Never got a chance to play that one. But when I picked up this one, I was immediately entranced because it's such a charming atmosphere. They really, the details that they can get on the Switch really show the paper crafted aesthetic of the Paper Mario world. Mm-hmm. And that is one of the things that's kept me in the game. Because when you look at, you can see the creases, you can see kind of the white underfolding for colored creases, the use of like the reflective surfaces for foil, the water effects are fantastic, which is amazing.
It really boggles my mind how the water works. Yes. It's very cool.
The story's good, the writing is fantastic and hilarious. The partner, the origami partner that follows you around, Olivia, I absolutely adore her. She's
so charming.
Yes,
dude.
Yes, she's so cute. It has, you know, funny moments. It has sad moments. It's just really good, a really great game. And what's surprising to me is how much hate it's getting before it even came out. Kind of going back to what we talked about last year with like the Pokemon Sword and Shield releases, how people dumped on the game before they even had a chance to play it. That was same thing with this one when they saw the combat system wasn't Thousand Year Door, that there's no partners in it like Thousand Year Door. They're comparing it to an older game, not realizing this isn't that game. I understand It's in the same series, but Nintendo's trying to do something new to keep the series fresh, and I think this is a very good entry to keep it fresh. Not to say it's not imperfect, there are some issues with it that I do have. For one, combat can be a little bit on the easy side, and at times unnecessary. Because unlike Thousand Year Door, where you get experience points, you only get 1,000%. Coin. So there's no sense of progression in terms of character growth for combat.
If you see that Goomba walking around, if you see that Goomba walking around, or you see that, you know, Koopa, and if this is a Thousand Year Door, if you were like a grinder, you would, every single chance you got, you did a battle to get experience. Absolutely. The same aspect is here. You have enemies all over the place. But why on God's green earth are you going to jump into a battle?
Yeah, unless you need to farm for coin. Right. That's really the only way to do it. The battles do get a little harder as they come on. There's enemies where you'll eventually you won't be able to body in a single hit. You'll either need to use some of your stronger items or, you know, risk taking some hits. But I do like the puzzle aspect of the battle system where you have to rotate and shift the rings around to get a damage boost. I do miss experience points because then it gave a purpose to battles. And that was something that was an issue in Color Splash. As I said, I didn't play it, but I like to watch The Completionist. He likes to finish Mario games, and that was an issue he had with the battle system in there, was that battles could be avoided entirely. There were no experience points, and that seemed to have carried over to this one. And I know when I got it, you told me that they took some of the best things from Thousand Year Door and the bad things from Color Splash. And that was, I think, one of the bad things from Color Splash. But again, it's the aesthetic of the world, the music bops. The battle music is awesome. It's the same battle music for each region that you go to, but they change the instruments that play and the rhythm that plays. So when you go to the Autumn Mountain, it has like this whole Asian symphony kind of feel to it. Then you go to a desert and it has that whole Arabian, like Aladdin feel to it. It's really cool what they do with the music in this one. But I'm still thoroughly enjoying this game. I don't understand the hate that it's getting.
I think enter my opinions then. I'm going to be talking about this game very differently than what you've experienced. Not to say that I haven't felt exactly what you felt in the very beginning. I was full on with you. I did not understand people hating this game for the reasons that they were. It's ridiculous to think that just because they didn't stick with, you know, That's in Your Door, or the first one, they shouldn't really have to, right?
Right.
But, and this is a big but, it's not mine. The longer that I played it, I found that the bad things that I didn't like started to annoy me a lot. You are very positive. You know, I don't think that the things that bother me are going to be the things that are going to be bothering you. But like with Color Splash, where you had to, like, you know, recolor the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's very annoying to me that I have to, like, put origami pieces, or what is it called? Confetti? All over the world to kind of, like, heal it or whatever. And again, I get it. It's part of the puzzle aspect. I'm not mad at that. It's just, it's an extra element, right? And I feel like, and I'm a different person. I will go on the record right off the bat saying that I'm not a completionist. I'm not a collector. I'm not someone that, you know, will go out of their way to make sure that I've checked every single bush. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
My wife is like that. She will check every single bush to make sure that that stage is complete. So my review on this may not really matter much. You know, I'm just talking my case. I didn't like that aspect too much. I didn't hate it. You know, it's fine. It's fun. One thing that got really old for me, in contrast to what you were saying about the combat, is the combat. I found the puzzle aspect, the turning of the stage and the flipping of the tracks, to be horribly annoying. Oh, like the very first hour and a half, I was like, yo, this is fun. Believe me, I was digging it, dude. I told you, I told my friends, I was telling my family. I was like, yo, this is fun. This is different. This is cool. But then, like, after about 2 and 3 hours, I'm like, yo, I'm tired of this. I'm tired. I can't run away from this battle. This is, again, it's not giving me experience points. This is a pointless battle that, again, I just want to run away from it. I don't want to complete this battle because I have three waves of Goombas and Shy Guys and those shits. I mean, oops. Those sniffs. Those snippets. It's called a snippet, right?
It's called a snippet. Snippets.
Those snippets, and they're a lot stronger than Shy Guys, so I'm already, like, upset. And then they do that little thing where they call for allies and stuff. And then,
oh, yeah,
and then it just turns on. I hate that because I don't want to keep turning the stage over and over and over. And, like, the combat system, it gets so annoying. It gets long and repetitive. I know you like it. I know the appeal about it. I liked it in the beginning. But I'm like, at least reward me with some efforts. Oh, and another thing that they brought from old Paper Mario games that I hate is that the items break.
Oh,
that
yeah.
That is ridiculous. Dude, in Thousand Year Door, and again, I know, shame on me, right? I'm comparing something to the Thousand Year Door. But once you rewarded with the shiny boots and the shiny hammer, I was like, dog, this is cool. I got my upgrade. I was all happy about it. And then when I see it break, oh, dude, I was peeved. I'm like, oh, so they're doing this item breakage garbage, man. Okay. But that's about it. I mean, that's my only gripe with the game. I think everything else is well written. Olivia's cute. The elementals are pretty charming. Honestly, with a game this big, that's all my gripes are, right? I think that's okay, right?
Yeah,
that's fine.
And I can see how that would wear at you in a time, because I'll admit the battle systems did get to me occasionally, especially in one part where I got lost and I had to keep circling around and enemies kept jumping on me. Granted, you can run away right. from them, and then you do get powerful enough that you could just bop them and blow them up without even going into battle. But I can see how that can be real tiresome when there's no tangible reward other than coin to keep with them. But I do want to mention, ladies and gentlemen, I think we've had our Incredible Hulk rant for 2020 in this episode.
Oh, that's right. That was from 2019. Huh?
Yep. But
those snippets, man. They got me, man. They got to me, those snippets.
Yeah. It's it's the gas mask, man, and that's two to it's defense. Gas mask.
Oh, but man, like, to be positive, the moments where like the tone completely changes, you could tell that writing was actually done. The lighting, the game design.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, speaking of snippets, that part of the game where you have to guess the emotion of a snippet.
Oh my gosh!
Because of that mask, that was cool. Like,
yes,
that was so hilarious. Much different, right? That was funny.
Yeah, and what's funny is you can actually get him on the first try. There's a
how
70-
so really?
Yeah,
really?
Because. You get three chances out of the four choices, so you have, what, a 75% chance of getting it?
Uh-huh.
Or is it 25? I can't do math.
Right. I got you, though.
Yeah. Which most people don't usually get it, but the second time, it's always going to be that one answer, and I don't want to mention what it is.
No, so don't.
Yeah. But it's funny when you fail. And you
right,
choose,
dude,
yes.
Because the timing. Oh, dude, whoever wrote that, the timing was a master.
Oh, man.
The timing is good.
Yeah, the writing on this one, I actually feel the writing in this one is better than Thousand Year Door. I know that's going to probably make a lot
yeah,
of people upset.
I mean, the effort's there, bro. I'm not going to deny. I'm not going to confirm. The effort is there. I can definitely. I'm not mad at that. Yeah,
there are a lot of laugh out loud moments that I've had.
Definitely,
a lot of inside jokes and stuff. Which one?
In the very beginning of the game, when you know that thing happens with the tree, and there's a musical number.
Yes,
that left me with my mouth agape. I was like, "What is this game,
dude?
Like, this is different. This is." Wow!
Yeah, that whole opening era in the Whispering Woods was actually really cool. When you're going around, you can hear all those whispers going. Like,
oh
this
my
is,
gosh,
this
yes.
is kind of cool.
And you're kind of expecting the same thing, right? If you've played the first Paper Mario, you know about the woods in that game too. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like a callback where you're like, oh, I know what's going to happen. I know what's going to happen. We're going to get stuck in here unless you make the right choices.
Right.
I was telling Liz, I was like, check it out. I'm going to be trapped. I'm trapped. And sure enough, I was. But it didn't go down that path. It was very different. I was like, oh, Seth, that's cool, man. I was pleased.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool Easter eggs, a lot of throwbacks. The writing is fantastic. I highly recommend to give it a try. Even if you're not happy with the choices Nintendo made, give it a try. You might be surprised.
And like we all have been saying, please don't keep comparing it to Thousand Year Door. You know,
right.
I know I did. But it's not fair. You know,
yeah.
It's really not fair.
Give it a
good things.
Yeah, give it a chance. Like, I know Nintendo said that right before it came out to go into it with an open mind, and that shut a lot of people down. But seriously, you should take any new game like that. Go in it with an open mind, because you don't know what it's going to be like. It might just surprise you. Because this game surprised me. I went into it very skeptical, because the last couple of games had not done that well, but I really enjoy this.
Shame on you. I'm just kidding. No, I mean, it's very different from the games that we're used to, but it's a good different. Like I said, mm-hmm. beside my rant, That's about it. That's all I pretty much have to say about what bothers me about that game. And if you think about other games, like, that's not too bad, right?
Yeah.
So definitely give it a try.
Have you been playing anything else, or just sticking mainly with that one?
I've been doing Paper Mario. I don't know why, but I just keep going back and forth between Rock Band, Paper Mario. Now that Outer Worlds is going to be getting their new DLC,
yeah, that's right.
I am very tempted to re-download Outer Worlds and kind of play around with some of the different playstyles that I haven't gotten a chance to play with, like Dumb. I've yet to play with a dumb character, and I know that that's so fun. It's its own little thing. So I'm gonna definitely try to re-download it and start playing more of the Outer Worlds to prepare for the new DLC that's coming out.
Yeah, because this new DLC, it's coming out September 9th is when it's coming out, so just a little more than a month away. It's called the Peril on Gorgon, and they're saying it's going to be just as big as everything that happens on Monarch, which is awesome.
Oh yeah, dude.
There's a lot to do on Monarch. And so to have that in a DLC package for an already great game is really exciting. Because I was having fun with it. I mean, I got into Fallout 4 closer to the beginning of the year, before, you know, all the quarantine stuff happening. Yeah. And I had fun with it, but I had even more fun with the Outer Worlds because it brought RPing back into the game a lot more than Fallout did.
Right.
Everything you do gives you a little bit of points, and your skills actually take into play on, you know, what you can do. And I really thought that was awesome.
Yeah, bro. Talk about a game that kept a lot of the good elements from its previous game and changed it in a very different way that is not Fallout, right? Yeah, I mean, you reminded me of how much I love that game and how much I was like addicted to it in the beginning just because of all the different choices. Like I said in the previous episodes, the game overall, it's kind of short, right? Like, the storyline's probably like, what do we say, like 40, 50 hours?
Yeah.
But, man, the choices. I mean, it's impossible. Yes. I don't think you can do all the choices as in one playthrough as you can, like, with different characters.
It's so great. Yeah, you can save every faction. You can destroy every faction. There's just so many endings that you can do.
Yeah.
How you build your character at the beginning determines how you play. Like Duke said, you can make your character an idiot and go through that.
Oh, yeah.
Which leads to, you know, certain dialogue points being brought up and stuff. It's really cool the amount of stuff that you can do with it. And it's kind of surprising, but not... We should have expected it coming from the team that worked on Fallout Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah. They took the Fallout formula and put it in space and slapped on a lot of comedy to it, because there is a ton of comedy in this game. And I love it.
And you hit the nail on the head, man. It's very charming. It's very well written. And so you know that they're going to bring that same polish, that same creativity with, you know, this Peril on Gorgon. It's going to be great, man. Yeah. I'm very, very looking forward to it. They say that it's going to drop September 9th, and it's going to cost $25. So,
which isn't that bad for DLC.
Nah.
Yeah. Nah, considering that most DLC is on average 30. Depending on the game, because one of the big DLC packs that came out in the last few months was for Mortal Kombat 11. It was the Aftermath one.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, that one, depending on the package, was like $50. Because it came with the story download and then the additional characters.
Oh right,
Yeah. But I think if you just bought the story, I think it was just $30, but you missed out on the new characters that came out with it. So $25 for DLC right now is not a bad deal.
No, I'm going to definitely be putting it into my shopping cart for that one.
Yeah,
looking forward to it.
Yeah, just keep an eye. You might be able to put it down for pre-download.
Oh, yeah.
As soon as it drops. It's ready.
Wait a minute. Oh, we have something else to report that we forgot. The Outer Worlds expansion pass for $25. Oh, we misspoke. The expansion pack for Perilon Gorgon is only $15. If you spend $25, you will get Perilon Gorgon and the second expansion pack, Murder on Eridanos, and that will release sometime in 2021.
Ooh, so it's like a season pass.
So
that's awesome.
So $25 bucks. Jeez,
that's amazing.
Louise. They're just giving that away. Honestly, dude, there's no way. That's super cheap given to how much work and effort and creativity that you know it's going to be in there. Definitely support them. And not to get into another rant, but compared to what its predecessor is doing, its other, you know, competing Bethesda, you know, come on. Like, they're obviously taking care of their fans. So definitely reward them for their effort.
Yes, considering that Fallout 76 got the, what was the name of the expansion that dropped? I don't remember what it was called.
The Give Me Your Money expansion?
Pretty much. It basically tried to address what everyone was complaining about when 76 first came out. This one had a ton of NPCs and like a story mode, a more in-depth story mode to it, but it's still not that great because it's still buggy as hell. So I don't know why they keep trying to dump money into 76. They should just
it's just until Skyrim comes out, you know. No, not Skyrim, the Elder Scrolls.
Yeah, Elder Scrolls. Yeah, well, we'll see what happens when they come out. Bethesda, I love you, but I don't like your practices. Don't be EA.
I love your games. All right. What else have we got? Was that it?
Just about. Yeah, I think that was about it on all our dockets.
Yeah, that's it for me. Definitely keep an eye out for more episodes. Now I have a nice, reliable station right here. It's nice. It's good. It's dependable. We will start scheduling some new episodes to come out more frequently.
Oh yeah.
August is here. I mean, it may be too early, but August is the month that I start watching my horror movies. So if you guys are down, we can start, you know, doing some watch-alongs with some classic movies.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Nosferatu. I start watching Frankenstein, Dracula, all the classics. I start from, like, the very early, like, 20s, and I work my way up until modern horror. So that's why I say I start watching horror movies in August, because that's when all my classic movies are watched.
You've got a long movie list to go through. Yeah, Bride of Frankenstein is probably one of my favorites. Bride of Frankenstein and the Mummy, the original Mummy with Boris Karloff as the Mummy. That was a good one. I don't know if you include this one in here, but I like to watch it. It's Hounds of the Baskervilles.
Hounds of Baskerville.
It's a Sherlock Holmes movie, but they like to consider it a horror movie because it deals a lot with like spectral dogs, supposedly.
Right.
It's got Christopher Lee, Peter Cushing, and a really good movie. If you haven't seen it, give it a chance. You might like it. Even though it's technically not a horror film. But
no,
it has a lot of horror.
I know this story well. I read the book plenty of times, but I didn't know that there was an actual movie about it.
Oh, so. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Peter Cushing is right up there with one of my favorite interpretations of Sherlock Holmes. Right up there with Robert Downey Jr. Although he plays him more as a man of class and not the weird scatterbrain guy that's three steps ahead of everybody.
Oh man, well, you just gave me something to watch tonight, so thank you. I'm definitely going to be watching this.
Oh man, that was another movie that was supposed to come out this year. It was the Sherlock Holmes movie. And that one got pushed back to next year.
Oh man, that's right. We were talking about that for a while.
Yeah.
That one was supposed to come out this year.
Well, at least 2021's got a lot riding on it now.
Yeah, it does have a lot. Oh, well, here's to 2021.
Right?
Let's all fall asleep and hope to wake up in a better year.
But if anyone has any recommendations for topics and stuff you want us to hear cover or get
movies,
our thoughts on.
I mean, we're going to do the movies no matter what, Cub, but if you got some better movies, by all means, send them in and we'll watch those first because obviously we're...
Yeah, we've seen our movies before, but yes. And then keep an ear open for our Batman episode that we want to try to do for next month.
Yeah, for sure.
We want to try to make it a big one. So keep an eye out for that one because we're already planning that one.
Yes.
But I think that'll just about do it for us today.
Yeah, that's it for me. Thank you guys for listening. Follow us on everything, Spotify. Thank you to Anchor for this episode. We really do appreciate you. And follow us on our Facebook page. Keep an eye out for that other giveaway.
Yeah, we'll do another giveaway soon. We do appreciate your feedback on this and any recommendations. You know, Facebook page is always open. We try to put some news out there from other sites on our Facebook page, usually from like Geek and Sundry and stuff. But we try to keep everyone abreast on stuff. But our Facebook page is open for... our Facebook page is open for posts and comments, so... Give us a follow, give us a share, give us a listen, and remember to keep on nerding out. I'm Ronan Hunter.
I'm Duke Savage. You guys take care.
Laters.
Bye-bye.
Bye.